Can I get you something, sir? The brim of the hat lifts to reveal Boone's piercing blue eyes, and my mouth drops open. Seriously? He shrugs.
What? You don't like my hat?
How long have you been here?
Long enough to see your cousin isn't in jail.
Out of habit, I glance down the bar to where Brandy stood earlier. You saw that?
I was about 5 feet away, ready to intervene, when Hope chased her off. She doesn't get to hassle you. No fucking way.
I meet his familiar blue gaze. She said they're making her pay a fine, and she might go to jail if she can't. The fishbowl was closed by the fire marshal indefinitely due to public safety issues.
She's not getting a single bit of sympathy from me.
I know, but still.
Look, finish doing your thing, and we'll talk about this later.
I turn, ready to do what he says because I can't wait to get out of here tonight, but I pause and look back at him.
You didn't need to babysit me. I talked to Hope. She can give me a ride. I said I'd be here, and I'm a man of my word. First thing I'm gonna make sure you understand is that when I say I'm gonna do something, I do it.
Boone pauses thoughtfully.
There's a matter of a few orgasms outstanding that I owe you too, and I'll deliver on those as well.
I look both ways down the bar, hoping no one else overheard him. You can't say stuff like that to me here. I lower my voice to a whisper yell. I'm at work. Boone doesn't bother to check the surroundings. He rises from his stool and leans over the bar so our faces are only inches apart.
I don't give a damn who hears me say that I'm taking you home tonight. You're my girl, and it's about time I show you exactly what that means. I'm gonna spoil you, Ripley Fisher. It's about damn time someone did, and I'm privileged to have the opportunity.
My heart slams into my chest, and I have no idea how to respond. Boone takes advantage of my momentary speechlessness to wrap a hand around the back of my neck and slide his lips along mine.
Kiss me, sugar. I've missed the taste of you.
Oh, God, I've missed the taste of him, too. I know I should pull away, but I can't find the strength.
Good girl,
Boone mumbles before his tongue dives inside and there's no talking at all. I lose myself in the kiss for a few seconds before someone wolf whistles.
Get her done!
I jerk back, and Boone releases his hold on me.
I'll be waiting out back.
There's no question of whether I'm leaving with Boone. That's done and settled. Now, the only question is what happens next. Do I use this as my chance to say goodbye?
16. I open the truck's door for Ripley, then wrap both hands around her waist and lift her into the cab. It's not like she can't do it herself, but I like having my hands on her, and it's been too damn long. When I climb into the driver's seat and start the engine, Ripley says two words that change my plans. Your place. I look over at her. You sure? She gives me a nod, and I decide that I'm not about to argue with her. All right, then. We don't talk on the drive, each of us lost in our own thoughts, but I come to some conclusions of my own. When the gate slides open, I finally speak. This means something to me, Ripley. You mean something to me. I turn my head to meet her gaze as I let the truck roll up the drive and the gate closes behind us. Give me a chance to prove to you just how good this can be before you give up on us completely. She thinks I don't know how her brain works, but I'm getting a pretty good grasp on it. I can't make you any promises. I guide the truck into the garage and put it in park before I turn in my seat. That's fine, but I'm gonna make you one. You will never regret giving us a real shot. Even in the shadows, I can see the hesitation on her face. You can't know that. Yeah, I can. Before she tries to argue further with me, I open the door, hop out, and come around to get her. She's already got her door open, but I pull her out of the truck with both arms wrapped around her waist. I carry her inside, never letting her feet touch the floor. You're late, the parrot shrieks from his cage, but I don't pause to tell him to zip it. I walk us down the hallway to my bedroom. If I can't get Ripley to believe my words, then I'll prove it to her through my actions. If I only have one night to convince her not to walk away, I'm going to make the most of it. I'm going to work myself so deep into her soul that she can't move without feeling me. When I lower her ass to the bed, she reaches for my shirt, but I still her touch, holding her hands together above her head and one of mine while I draw her tank up her stomach. You're so goddamned beautiful. I toss her shirt aside and press a hand to her chest, guiding her onto her back. I take care with her shoes and then her pants, peeling them down her legs, not wanting to jostle her ankle. I drop to my knees and press a kiss to the top of her foot where the bruising still remains. But you're also strong and capable. That's sexy as hell. You don't need me, Ripley. I know that for a fact, so I'm gonna make you want me instead. Something soft passes over her features, and I hope I'm getting through to her. I spread her legs, taking my time, kissing my way up her thighs until I'm an inch away from her center, breathing her in. I've never wanted another woman the way I want you. I need you to know that's true. This isn't surface level. It goes deep, all the way to my bones. My tongue darts out, stealing a taste of her as she inhales sharply. You're already wet for me, sugar. Totally soaked. Has this pussy been missing being filled up? Sliding both hands under her ass cheeks, I lift her higher against my face, finding her clit and dragging my teeth across it. Or have you been dreaming about what it'd be like to have this ass filled? I press four fingers between her cheeks, finding her back entrance with one and giving it a nudge. Another harsh breath from Ripley. If you don't answer me, I'm going to keep guessing. Yes, I missed you, everywhere. I don't know what you do to me, but you want more. It isn't a question because her body is already trembling with need. Yes. I release my hold on her and rise to tow off my boots, tear open my pearl snap shirt, and shuck off my jeans. Then more is what you're gonna get.
17. I'm in trouble. Everything that comes out of Boone's mouth is wearing down my resolve to end this between us before it gets out of hand. He knows it. I know it. And yet I can't stop myself from wanting whatever he's going to give me. He stands before me naked, his blue eyes drilling into mine. Right here, right now, it's just you and me. No bullshit, no media, no families, no past, just us. This is what matters. If you can just give us a shot, a real one, this is all that matters. We make the rules. We decide what pieces everyone else gets. We control this, not anyone else. He makes it sound so easy, even though I know it's not. For tonight, I'm willing to buy into the fantasy he paints. He says I don't need him, but maybe right now, I do. Show me, I tell him, and burning heat flares in his gaze. That's exactly what I plan to do. Lose the bra. I push up on my elbows on the bed and reach behind me to unhook it. I've never been a seductress, but with Boone, I wish I were. I let the cups drop forward before slowly drawing the bra away from my skin. His fingers tense and release with every inch of skin I uncover, like he's fighting back the urge to touch. Don't fight it. I want your hands on me. I want to forget everything but how you make me feel. My head fills with all the things I can never bring myself to say out loud. Boone's patience dangles by a thread as I slip the bra off and toss it aside. His voice takes on that gravelly tone in his songs when he speaks. Do you have any idea how fucking gorgeous you are? He drops both palms to the bed and leans forward, capturing one nipple. With a tug, it's hard and aching, shooting darts of sensation to my clit, which is dying for the perfect friction only Boone seems to be able to deliver. When he finally releases the peak and switches to the other, my breaths are already becoming uneven. I bury my hands in his hair, holding his head to my chest as I arch up, wanting more. His teeth clamp down on my nipple, nipping and dragging across the sensitive flesh. Heat bursts between my legs, and as much as I love foreplay, I need him to hurry. Releasing my grip on Boone's hair, I shift so I can reach between our bodies and palm his cock. I can feel his groan against my skin, and my urgency kicks up another notch. Please, hurry. Boon lifts his head.
What makes you think I'm going to hurry a damn thing? You're meant to be savored, sugar, and all this sweetness is mine.
The heat between my legs is only matched by the burning in my chest when he says things like that. Don't fall in love with him, Ripley. This is just sex. I spread my legs and lift my hips to grind against Boon.
Jesus fuck. I can feel how damn wet you are.
He reaches between us, his finger sliding across my smooth skin. With the tiniest bit of pressure, his finger would slip inside me. With each spine-arching stroke, Boon plays with me. My hips buck, trying to force his hand, but he pulls back and meets my eyes as he lifts his fingers to his lips and sucks them clean.
So fucking sweet.
Oh my God, I'm nearing combustion.
You want my fingers inside you?
He asks. Yes, damn it.
You gonna come for me like that? Squeeze them tight and give me more of this sweetness?
Yes.
Maybe you should taste it first. You ever tasted yourself, Ripley?
My brain stutters. What did he say? But I don't have time to think further because Boone's fingers dip between my legs, thrusting inside, giving me exactly what I want for a moment before drawing back and lifting them to my mouth to paint my lips with my own wet heat.
Taste.
At this point, I'm not sure if there's any order that could fall from Boone's lips that I wouldn't follow. I dart out my tongue and lick, but that's not enough for him. He pushes his fingers between my lips, and the musky, salty, sweet flavor hits.
So fucking good.
Boon draws his fingers from my mouth and sucks them off, and I don't know if I've ever seen anything so dirty yet insanely hot in my entire life.
You like it?
I'm on the verge of telling him I want to know how he tastes, when his fingers thrust into me again, this time curving forward to hit my G-spot with each pass. I buck my hips, wanting what's already building.
That's a good girl. Fuck those fingers. Take them just like you're going to take my cock.
Boon palms my hip and squeezes, helping me lift and lower until a silent cry leaves my lips. Holy hell. The orgasm slams through me harder than ever before, and when my brain starts firing again, I have to wonder if it's the dirty talk that made it even more intense. I've never had someone speak to me like that, and it turned me on more than I ever thought possible. Apparently, Boon has a silver tongue in more than one respect. I hold in a giggle as he moves his hand once more, drawing out the remains of the hard and fast climax until I finally still. When my breathing loses its ragged edge, his eyes drill into mine.
Do you trust me?
That's a hell of a question to ask, and one that threatens to pull me out of this delicious haze. I could analyze it, but I don't want to. For once, I go with my gut, which says there's only one possible answer to that question anyway. Yes.
Good. I'm gonna make you come harder than you ever have before.
I'm about to tell him he's just done that, but Boon grips me by the hips and flips me over before my lips part. Boone's hand slides between my legs, cupping my pussy.
I'm gonna fuck you hard, the way I've been dying to.
With my slickness on his fingers once again, he brings them up to circle the previously untouched territory.
And I'm gonna fill this tight little virgin asshole with my finger.
Is it possible to spontaneously orgasm from just words? I don't know, but I think I just did. I fist the comforter on the bed, burying my face in it to quiet my moans.
Let those out. I want to hear them. I want to hear every fucking sound you make while I stretch you out to take my cock. Your ass is mine, sugar.
Oh, my God. Boone's touch disappears, and the next thing I hear is the sound of him rustling around in the nightstand. When he comes back, a cold drizzle of liquid hits the spot in question.
Just a little lube.
Before my brain has the chance to form any questions, Boon lifts my hips and strums my clit for a beat before driving inside my pussy, filling me with a single thrust. I scream out something that sounds like a mishmash of his name and fuck and oh my God, but the sound is lost to the slapping of his hips against mine as he pounds into me.
Touch yourself. I want those fingers on your clit. Mine are about to be busy somewhere else. I do as he says because, duh, I like multiple orgasms. And the combination of pressure on my clit and Boone's cock inside me is a surefire way to achieve them. As soon as I move my hand, he presses against my ass with the pad of what I assume is his thumb, and my nerve endings go wild. Pressure, 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 and then dark, dirty pleasure. Oh my God, oh my God! My entire vocabulary has shrunk to this one phrase because I can't seem to recall any other words. My cries grow louder as he begins to fuck my ass with his finger in time with his thrusts into my pussy. Soon my whispers turn to keening wails and then screams. My inner muscles clench as I throw my head back and forth. The orgasm barrels down on me, smashing through every obstacle. Oh my God! Blood thunders in my ears as my entire body convulses. I fall forward, but Boone is relentless. He reaches around and slaps his hand over my clit as he continues to power inside until I'm a sobbing, shaking mess. He climaxes with a roar and finally stills.
Sweet fucking Christ.
He presses his lips to my shoulder blade.
You almost gave me a goddamn heart attack.
From the furious hammering against my rib cage, he's not the only one. Likewise.
Come on.
What? No, I can't. Boone pulls out of me, no doubt with a mess, but he lifts me into his arms too quickly for me to do anything about it. Without turning the lights on, he gets us to the shower and flips on the water with one hand. When the steam is billowing, he carries me inside and sets me on my feet. The water washes over me in warm streams, and I don't have to move a muscle because Boone washes my body with a soft cloth, taking care to make sure he doesn't miss an inch. When he finishes, he speaks into the darkness.
This is happening, Ripley. You and me. I won't give you up.
I press both palms to his hard chest and allow myself to speak the truth. I'm not ready to give you up either. Boone whispers something that sounds like thank God and cups my face before taking my lips.
18. I wake to an empty bed. My first thought is, fuck, she bolted. I scared her off. I didn't go easy on her last night, physically or otherwise, but the sheets beside me aren't cold. They still hold the heat of Ripley's body. She hasn't gone far. I remember the last time I woke up to an empty bed and what happened next. I could handle a repeat of donuts and the kitchen table. When I roll out from under the covers, my feet hit the floor and I cross to the dresser for a pair of shorts. My first instinct is wrong, and I find the kitchen empty. Soft singing is coming from the living room, and it draws me forward. Ripley refills Esteban's food tray, but she turns and goes quiet when she hears me behind her. I'm guessing that bird's been getting one hell of a show for years now if you sing to him regularly, I say. Superstar! Esteban says, and Ripley laughs. For the record, he's talking about you, not me. She nods down at the shirt she's wearing, one of my t-shirts that fits her like a dress. Hope you don't mind that I borrowed it. Sugar, you can borrow whatever you need. You don't have to ask. I glance at the clock. You always get up at the crack of dawn, even after you've worked late? She nods. It's a habit. I used to have to get up and make pop breakfast, and then I'd go back to bed for a couple hours. I guess I just got into the routine, so now I make myself some breakfast and then sleep until noon. Well, sometimes, anyway. The thought of how hard she worked for her old man without any thanks makes me want to kick his ass, but that's not going to help me erase the frown on her face. Then how about I make you some breakfast this morning and we go back to bed and work it off? I'm not sure what I expect from her, but the big grin I get is better than anything I could imagine. I think I'll take you up on that. Two Denver omelets and a double side of bacon for each of us later, Ripley eyes me with new respect. How did you learn to cook like that? Ma wanted to make sure her sons could look after themselves in the kitchen. I'm pretty sure she didn't want us to fall for the first woman who could keep us fed, because she knows we've got big appetites. Ripley laughs. She sounds like an amazing woman. She is. Both she and my dad believed in teaching us the value in hard work, so I perfected my omelet-making skills in the kitchen of Country Critter for 2 summers in high school. Country Critter? Sounds interesting. Where exactly did you grow up? East Tennessee, not too far outside Knoxville. Had the Smoky Mountains in my backyard. God's country. When I think about that view and watching the fog rise off the mountains in the morning, I miss it. I'm due for a trip home. Do your folks still live there? Ripley asks. Sure do. In the same house where I grew up. No matter how many times I've tried to buy them a new one, my dad won't hear of it. He says it was good enough for him before, and it'll be good enough until the day they put him in the ground. Ripley's eyes go wide. I can guarantee that's not what Pop would have said if I were in your position. He'd be first in line holding out his hand, telling me that I own for all the sacrifices he made while I was growing up. Again, I want to knock her dad's teeth out. It's probably a good thing I've never met the man, because I have a feeling Ripley wouldn't be pleased at the outcome. Instead, I changed the subject back to my family, wishing she'd had what I did growing up. My brother lives a half mile from my folks. Ma watches his little boy while he and his wife work. They still have Sunday dinner together after church. As I tell Ripley about my family, I realize how much I've missed them lately, and an idea hits me. It sounds like what you'd see in a movie. Idyllic. It's pretty damn perfect. But when I was 18, all I wanted to do was go to Nashville and make my mark. I wanted to be famous, tour the world, and sing in front of thousands of fans and sold-out shows. And you did it. She reaches out and squeezes my arm. You're pretty incredible, too. I shrug. I got lucky. Right place, right time, right sound, and the right record exec. That's how it happened, and if any one of those things had been different, I probably would have ended up moving home eventually and working with my dad and brother. What did your parents think of you wanting to make it big, leaving behind the small-town life? They were awesome. Totally supportive. My folks have been to more of my shows than probably anyone else in the world. I owe them everything. Ripley's hand tightens on my arm again. They sound wonderful. An idea keeps rolling around in my head, but it's not ready to be put into words quite yet. Instead, I stand and grab both our plates and take them to the sink to rinse. I can do that. I'll worry about the dishes. You worry about being naked in bed when I get there. Ripley's cheeks turn pink. Are we going to... The reason for the blush becomes clear. Not yet. I've still got some work loosening up that sweet little asshole of yours. The blush darkens and she spins around and disappears as Esteban squawks, "Get a room!"
19. Oh my God. I feel like a broken record because I've said it so many times, but I can't help it. Boone does things to my body I never knew were possible. Round 3 in the books, my eyes drift closed. I'm going to take a quick nap, only a few minutes. He presses a kiss to my hair.
Take all the time you need, sugar.
When I open my eyes the next morning, the sun is sneaking through the curtains, and I feel like I've just woken from a coma. With my arms stretched above my head, I search the room but see no sign of Boone. There aren't any sounds coming from the bathroom either. I grab my jeans from the floor and pull them on, along with another one of Boone's t-shirts. I tie it in a knot at the side so it doesn't hang down to my knees. He's deceptively big. I don't know what it is about him, but you don't realize how massive he is until he's right up on you. The ache between my legs is another sign of what else is massive. Good God, if all those groupies knew what kind of equipment Boone is packing, he'd be even more overrun than he already is. A flash of possessiveness streaks through me at the thought of anyone else knowing what I know. He's not yours, Ripley. Calm down. Another part of me disputes that because he could be. All I have to do is say yes. I shove those thoughts aside and make my way out of the bedroom to wander the house in search of Boone. The kitchen and living area are empty. I don't see him on the back deck. His truck and his 442 are in the garage, so I know he has to be around somewhere. Part of me doesn't want to snoop in other places, but when I hear the muffled sound of a guitar drifting up the wide stairs leading into the basement, I follow it. I make my way down the stairs and realize the basement is just as big as the first floor of the house, which is built into a big hill. 4 sets of sliding glass doors run along the back, leading out to a terrace where he set up all the targets for me the other day. The sound of the guitar grows slightly, but it's still much quieter than I would expect, as I make my way down a hall to peer through thick windows. I finally find the source of the sound. Holy shit. Boone has his own recording studio. His back is to me, and the headphones he'd wear if he were recording are hooked on a stand. This close, I can hear more of the sound coming through the mostly soundproof walls, and it's like nothing I've ever heard from him before. He pauses and pulls a pencil from behind his ear. From the hunched set of his shoulders, I assume he's writing lyrics down. Something akin to awe sweeps over me when it sets in that he's writing a song. Probably something that's going to be played on a million radios and in dozens of stadiums. Amazing. Seriously amazing. And that thought is followed by, this could be me someday. Is that what I want? I've barely had time to consider the question and what the consequences would be if I decided to take the leap. Unlike Boone, I don't have a family to leave behind and miss. What I said about Pop is absolutely true. If I ever made it big, or hell, even made it in a small way, he'd show up with his hand out, expecting to be repaid for everything he ever did for me. Sadness and grief accompanies the vision playing through my head. Why couldn't I have a normal family like Boone's? Why did Pop have to drown in that bottle instead of smothering his only daughter with love? Why did someone have to kill my mama? I'll never be able to answer any of those questions. Boone swivels on his stool, guitar in hand, and his head jerks up when he sees me through the window. A smile stretches over his face, and it's like the sun coming out from behind thick clouds to shine its warmth down on me. When has anyone ever looked at me that way? Never. Boone slides off his stool and comes out of the studio.
Hey, Sleeping Beauty.
You could have woken me. Boone shifts the guitar out of the way and steps forward to steal a kiss.
Didn't want to. You look like you're owed a few solid nights of sleep. I'm sorry for leaving you to wake up alone. I got hit with a melody that wouldn't quit, so I had to get it down before I lost it.
Your next number one hit? I ask, half joking. One of Boone's eyebrows goes up.
I guess we'll see.
What would it be like for that to even be a possibility? Do I really want to know?
I've been doing some thinking, and I want to take you home.
Jerked away from answering either question, I snap my gaze back to Boone with surprise, and a shaft of disappointment surprises me with its intensity. Oh, of course. I just need to get my stuff, and I'll be ready. I can have Hope come get me if you're too busy. A look of confusion crosses Boone's face before it clears. He shakes his head.
No, not your home. Mine. My folks. I want you to meet them. See where I grew up.
I catch my reflection in the glass windows of the recording studio, and I'm not sure my eyebrows could go any higher. What? Like, soon? Meeting the parents is kind of a big freaking deal. One corner of Boone's mouth quirks up.
Yeah, like today.
Today? I can't. I have to work tonight.
I took care of it.
What did he just say? He couldn't have possibly said what I think he just said.
Excuse me? I took care of it. I called Hope. She said you can have the weekend off.
I take a deep breath, but my temper gets the best of me. How dare he? I don't want the weekend off. I need to work. I need the money. That's why I have a job. I can't keep taking time off because I'll never save any money and get my own place. And weekend shifts are the biggest for tips. Boone shrugs like it's no big deal.
I'll cover it. You won't lose any money.
My jaw drops open at the fact that he thinks I'd take a handout. I'm not taking your money. I work for mine, which is why I need to call Hope right now and tell her not to take me off the schedule.
Too late. She said someone else asked for extra shifts because she's got a sick kid who needs surgery, so she said it worked out perfectly.
He's talking about Lenora, another part-time bartender at the White Horse, a single mom whose baby has been in and out of the hospital since she was born. I suck in a deep breath, my temper still dangerously close to boiling over. If there's one person I've met who needs money more than I do, it's her. But still, I straighten my shoulders and lift my chin.
Listen, you don't get to run my life or make decisions for me. You don't get to decide whether I do or don't need the cash from working a weekend. You have no idea what it's like to be me, and what it's like to be worried about making enough money so you don't have to eat PB&J for weeks at a time.
The smile on Boone's face fades, and his expression goes dark.
You think I don't know what it's like not to know where your next meal is coming from? You think you're the only one who has ever had to worry about making ends meet?
You just told me about your perfect parents and perfect childhood and perfect freaking life, so no, I don't think you know what that's like. Boone's eyebrows dive into slashes between his eyes.
I lived in my car for 6 months, through the goddamned winter. Some nights I couldn't sleep because my teeth would chatter so hard. If I didn't pull in enough tips at the bar or find odd jobs, I didn't eat the next day. I know what it's like, Ripley, but I also didn't have friends like you do. No one rolled out the welcome mat for me and told me to stay as long as I liked. No one helped me get a job or a break. You're buried so deep in the struggle, you can't see all the good you've got around you.
Because the struggle is all I know. I can't rely on anyone but me. If I do and it falls through, then I'm even more screwed than I was before.
You think hope is going to screw you over?
No, but...
You think I'm going to screw you over?
I don't know.
Well, I do, and it's not fucking happening, so just let me help you. I've already given your bird a home for as long as you need it. What else can I do to prove to you that I just want to help?
I don't know. This time, instead of sputtering in anger, I whisper it. I don't know how to do this. The fear of getting backhanded by life again blazes through me, and Boone curves a hand around my neck and meets my eyes.
Then I'll show you. Give me a chance to prove myself. I'm not him. I'm not any of them.
You have to promise you're not going to step in and cancel my shifts again. Ever. I've been running my own life for too long to let someone walk in and take over.
I'm not trying to take over. I just want to give you one weekend where you're not trapped behind a bar. When's the last time you actually did something fun?
I'm silent for a few beats before I answer. With you. Boone finally smiles again.
That was nothing. Just wait till you get the whole Thrasher clan.
20. My anxiety notches up with each mile that passes. We're in Boone's truck because he wasn't sure how the weather was going to hold out and didn't want to chance it in the 442. I stare out the window with my hands folded in my lap and take in the passing scenery. I've never been to this part of the state, so everything is new. Actually, I've never been much of anywhere. To Memphis once with Hope so we could see Graceland. I'm knocking on the door to 30 years old, and I've never left the state of Tennessee. What would Boone say if he knew that? He's probably been to almost every state in the Union and tons of foreign countries. Places I can only dream about visiting, if I stay my course and don't seriously consider what could happen if I tried to make a go of it in the music industry.
You're awfully quiet, he says.
I look across the cab of the truck and find him studying me. Just taking in the scenery.
Nervous.
To meet his entire family? Is he insane? Obviously I'm nervous.
Yep. They're good people. You've got nothing to worry about. Ma will love you. I already know that.
How? I turn in my seat to face him. Boone shrugs.
I just do.
Did she like Amber? I don't know why I asked the question, but it's out, and I can't take it back. Boone inhales and slowly releases a long breath.
No, she didn't. They saw it way before I did.
This time I'm studying him as he fixes his eyes on the road in front of us. Saw what?
That Amber didn't want me for me. Only for what being with me would do for her. She said all the things I wanted to hear. but I was too blind to see it was all bullshit.
He glances at me.
That's why I know Ma will like you. You refuse to take a damn thing from me without being forced, and you don't hesitate to tell me how it is, regardless of what I might think or say.
I huff out a laugh. You make me sound like an ungrateful bitch.
No, not at all. More like a proud, independent woman. And considering that's what my Ma is, you'll get along just fine.
A hint of relief works its way through my system. I've never done the meet the parents thing, but I have to believe his mom is the biggest hurdle. Tell me about everyone else again. Boone drops one hand from the steering wheel and reaches across to thread his fingers through mine before he speaks.
My dad's a small engine mechanic. He has his own shop and repairs mowers, lawn tractors, chainsaws, generators, basically anything with a small engine. My brother was a mechanic in the service, and when he got out, he went into business with Dad. They've expanded into boats, ATVs, dirt bikes, and stuff like that, too. It's a nice business, and they both make a good living. Wendy, my brother's wife, manages a dental office in town. She started out as a hygienist, but found she liked being the office manager more than having her hands in people's mouths. She and Grant have a little boy named Kyle. He's 5, and cool as shit.
I can't help but smile at the love that's clear from Boone's tone. His family sounds so completely normal.
I've got a dirt bike for him for Christmas that's going to piss Wendy off something fierce, but I know he's going to love it. He already tears it up on the little four-wheeler I got him.
You bought your 5-year-old nephew a dirt bike? Are you serious? He nods.
I started riding when I was 6. Figured he could have an early start.
6? You were riding a dirt bike at 6?
Yeah, we didn't have a lot of money, but Dad had a customer trade him 2 little dirt bikes to fix a few lawn tractors for his yard care business. Dad got him running, and Ma didn't object. It was my favorite thing to do growing up. My brother and I would head out to the trails and ride for hours.
I could picture a younger Boone doing daredevil stunts on the back of a dirt bike. It's a miracle he's still alive.
I've got a track out in the back 40 at home. I'll teach you when we get back.
I'm going to take a hard pass. Boone winks at me.
We'll start you riding the ATV by yourself and work up from there.
I roll my eyes and ask another question. Is your brother older or younger?
Grant's 2 years older. He joined up when he was 18, and when they sent him off to boot camp, I went down to the recruiter's office with a fake ID and tried to sign up, too.
No way.
Sure did. They tossed my ass out and kept my fake.
Is that what you wanted to do? Join the service?
Dad's a vet. Granddad served. Then when Grant did, it just seemed like I should continue the Thrasher family tradition.
It's not hard to picture Boone in a uniform or camo fatigues. Actually, I probably shouldn't picture him that way because I guarantee he'd look even hotter than he already does. Did you try again when you turned 18, or were you already dead set on making it in Nashville?
This is where I have to say fate stepped in. When I went back on my 18th birthday with my real ID, the recruiter took one look at me and knew exactly who I was. He told me he respected the balls it took to try and get in early, but I wasn't cut out for the Army if I wanted to take shortcuts like that. He sent me home.
For real? I'm stunned. I figured they'd be thrilled to have him.
Dead serious.
I know there has to be more to the story, but Boone releases my hand to make a sharp right turn.
We're almost there. Another couple miles.
Again, the apprehension I felt earlier is back. What did your mom say when you told her you were coming home? Boone slows at a stop sign and looks over at me.
Didn't tell her. Figured I'd surprise her, which is way more fun.
You didn't tell her? I ask, my voice going up an octave. I feel like Esteban, repeating part of everything he says.
Nah. She's been after me to come home, so she's probably partly expecting it.
My anxiety and apprehension kick into overdrive, and Boone must realize I'm silently freaking the hell out.
Ripley, it's gonna be fine. They'll be excited to see me and thrilled to meet you.
Why would you assume that? Boone turns to me and says simply,
Because you make me happy.
21. Driving into my hometown with Ripley in the front seat of my truck is a lot different than the first and only time I brought Amber to meet my folks. We were in an Escalade driven by her security because she didn't think it would look impressive enough if we drove ourselves. That was Amber, always concerned about how things would look. Because I wasn't driving on that trip, I caught her every reaction as we drove into town. Amber wrinkled her nose at the Sleeping Giant motel and made a face like she smelled something bad when she caught sight of the Boot Scoot Honky Tonk. She asked, "Is this really it?" three times. I didn't need to see the town through her eyes to know that it wasn't good enough for her, even though she finally stopped calling it quaint. I turned down my parents' street, wondering how Ripley is going to feel when she realizes that we're going to be sleeping in an apartment over their garage that they fixed up as a guest suite. Amber had looked around like she was searching for the nearest Hilton. We made it one night before she swore something crawled on her and then took off with security and the Escalade the next morning. I stayed for the rest of the weekend with my family, getting a ride back to Nashville from my folks, who I treated to a couple of nights in a swanky downtown hotel and tickets to the Grand Ole Opry for their trouble. My parents are the type who would donate a kidney to one of their kids without batting an eye, so they tried to say no because it was just a simple ride. I wouldn't let them turn it down because I was also trying to make up for the embarrassment Amber caused. She'd picked at Ma's cooking, asking if she had vegetarian options, even though I'd seen her eat meat before. It was a train wreck. When I confronted Amber about it a few days later, she gave me some story about being so nervous and begged me to forgive her. She went on and on about how loving my family was and how sweet they'd been to her, and even though it burned, I let it slide. I let way too many things slide with her. I was such an idiot. Thankfully, the good Lord was watching out for me and saved me from making the biggest mistake of my life. If it were anyone but Ripley, I might second-guess taking a woman home this soon to meet my parents. For some reason, I know she's going to fit in just fine. Maybe my folks will realize my judgment has improved in a big way, too, because I'll be proud to introduce Ripley to them. She's an amazing woman. I'm also hoping that by seeing me with my family, Ripley will finally start to understand that she and I aren't so different. Am I using them as my secret weapon? Maybe. But to get Ripley to give me a real shot, I'll do whatever it takes. Here we are. I turn down the gravel drive with a white mailbox and a split rail fence. Just beyond the giant birch trees sits my parents' white farmhouse and barn-sized garage. Ma's mums are in bloom on the porch, and an American flag flies from the pole above the black and white POW MIA flag. "It's so perfect," Ripley whispers, glancing over at me. "You really grew up here?" I nod. "Sure did. My parents have lived here for over 30 years. "Wow." Her tone carries a hint of wonder, reaffirming everything I expected. The front door flies open and a mutt comes running out, barking his fool head off. I pull up a couple of feet and park behind my dad's truck. It's 5:30 on Friday, which means he just got home from work and dinner will be on the table by 6. "They have a dog!" The excitement in Ripley's voice takes me by surprise. I had no idea she liked dogs. "They've always had at least one. This is Buford. He's 100% Heinz 57. When Ripley blinks at me in confusion, I explain, "He's a mutt, adopted from the pound before they could put him down." "Can I pet him? I've always wanted a dog, but it wasn't in the cards." Damn, now I want to give her a whole damn litter of puppies just to see how she'd light up. "Go on ahead, he's plenty friendly. I'll get your door." I climb out of the truck, give Buford a rub down and a pat on the side, and come around to let Ripley out. Once I've got her door open, Ma calls from the front porch. "It's about time, young man. I'll put a couple extra plates on for dinner." Ma doesn't sound surprised in the least to see me standing in the driveway. She's got a sixth sense about things like this. "Be right in, Ma." The screen smacks against the door frame as she steps back into the house, no doubt to return to the kitchen to make sure whatever she's got cooking doesn't burn. When Ripley is out of the truck, she hunches over and Buford races full speed, knocking her on her ass before covering her face with sloppy licks. Instead of screeching like a lot of women might, Ripley laughs, sounding genuinely happy. Looks like I'm gonna be housebreaking a puppy if that's her reaction. He's such a good boy. When Ripley looks up at me, her eyes shining and her arms around Buford's neck, it hits me. Game over. I'm done. She's it. The one. Now I have to make her fall in love with me. A few minutes later, gravel crunches in the driveway behind us, signaling another arrival. A truck door slams, stealing Buford's attention away from Ripley. He lets out a long howl and races for the newcomer. Baby bro, my brother calls out. Ma just called. We've been waiting to see you in person so we could tell you the good news. Ma must have called them when she saw us turn down the damn driveway. Not that I'm complaining. Grant comes around the hood of his truck and helps Wendy down. Her small frame is all belly. She looks like she's about to pop, but I'm pretty sure she's only 5 months along or so. I reach out a hand to Ripley and pull her to her feet. She wipes off the seat of her jeans and glances at my brother and his wife as though she's embarrassed to be caught rolling around on the ground with the dog. She doesn't know my family well, because that's probably the quickest way to win them over. Who do we have here? Grant asks, one hand at the small of Wendy's back. I wrap an arm around Ripley and haul her against my side. This is Ripley Fisher, my girlfriend. I hear her draw in a quick breath from beside me, but I don't pause. Rip, this is my brother Grant and his wife Wendy. Don't forget me. The back door to the truck slams and a small body races forward until it collides with my legs. I had to finish my last level. Sorry, Uncle Boone. I only have 5 more minutes of game time left for today, and I didn't want to give up until I won. But you're way better than video games. Can we go ride my ATV? Kyle, your Uncle Boone was introducing us to his friend. Say hi to Ms. Ripley, his mom says, reminding him of his manners. Kyle, with his thrasher blue eyes, stares up at Ripley. You're pretty. I'm gonna marry a girl as pretty as you someday. You trying to steal my girl, Kai? His smile is quick and broad, and I drop down to wrap him in a hug. Missed you, kid. You been good for your mama and daddy? Kyle glances back toward his parents before replying. I kinda caught the yard on fire last week, and mama yelled a lot. My gaze cuts to my brother. What the hell happened? You can't say hell, Uncle Boone. You know Lala doesn't like it when you cuss. Lala is what Kyle calls Ma because she's always singing while she's cooking or gardening. Thanks for the reminder, buddy. I ruffle his hair, kicking myself for not getting here more often. I'm missing so much of watching him grow up. Now, are you going to tell me about the yard? Wendy steps forward. Later, that'll keep. She reaches out a hand to Ripley. I'm so happy to meet you. Ripley shakes her hand. It's nice to meet you, too. Grant is standing back, eyeing Ripley with a healthy dose of skepticism. Your girlfriend? That's pretty frickin' quick after. Wendy steps back and jabs her elbow into Grant's side. Aren't you going to tell your brother the big news? What news? Before Grant can speak, Kyle blurts, Mama's having 2 babies. Holy shoot. Twins? I look for my brother to Wendy and back again. Grant's skeptical look is replaced by a wide grin. What can I say? It's those Thrasher super swimmers. And it explains why I'm as big as a house. Oh, wow. That's amazing. Congratulations, Ripley says. Do you know if they're boys or girls or one of each yet? Wendy shakes her head. No, we're opting for a surprise this time. All we want is healthy. Y'all gonna stand out in the drive all night? Your ma's putting dinner on the table in a few minutes. We all turn to see Dad on the front porch, beer in hand. We're coming, Papa. Kyle takes off at a run, which is pretty much the only speed he moves at these days. I follow behind him with Ripley beside me. You ready for this? I ask her. I hope so.
22. It doesn't take a genius to see that Boone's brother is leery of me. And why shouldn't he be? His kid brother, a superstar, got publicly cheated on and dumped, and then he shows up 2 weeks later with a new woman in tow? And then Boone called me his girlfriend, and my heart nearly stopped. We walk up the steps of the white farmhouse that looks like it belongs on an Americana postcard, and Boone's dad stands in the doorway.
I'm Randall Thrasher. It's nice to meet you.
Ripley Fisher. I'm sorry we didn't call ahead. I take the hand he offers and shake it.
No need to call ahead. This is my boy's home. He's welcome any time, day or night, and so are you. Can I get you a beer?
Sure, that'd be great. Boone shoots me a smile, and I wonder if that was the right answer.
Ma, we finally made it inside.
You think I don't know that? My favorite grandson already found me and told me no one would miss my dinner while it was hot. Boone's mom steps out of the kitchen. Now that I see her up close, I recognize those same brilliant blue eyes that Boone, Grant, and Kyle all have, although it appears hers have faded some with age. Her hair is a blonde chin-length bob, as opposed to Boone's dark hair, which must have come from his dad, although Mr. Thrasher's is now more salt and pepper. Stepping inside their house is like walking into the life I wished I could have had as a kid. A cozy couch and love seat situated in front of a fireplace, which has a flat-screen TV mounted over it. I can picture stockings hanging from the mantle at Christmas, with a plate of milk and cookies for Santa nearby, waiting for him to come down the chimney. The rug is worn, but the flowers depicted on it still hold their color. The tables look like antiques and match the grandfather clock on the other side of the fireplace. The living room opens into a dining room, and the big table is set with enough plates for the whole family, and me. Mr. Thrasher disappears into the kitchen and returns with three beers for us, and a Sprite that he hands to Wendy with a kiss to her cheek.
You look beautiful, girl. Make sure my boy keeps you smiling like that.
From the way Wendy's lips curve, I'm sure this isn't the first time Mr. Thrasher has said something to that effect. Kyle comes running out of the kitchen with a red Kool-Aid mustache.
Lala says the veggies aren't done yet. 5 more minutes. I'm gonna help finish setting the table.
Mr. Thrasher hands out the bottles to the rest of us and ruffles the boy's hair before Kyle darts off again. Everything about this house and the people in it screams family. Something I haven't had in a really long time, or maybe ever. Thank you, sir. Mr. Thrasher smiles at me as I take a long draw of my beer.
So, Ripley Fisher, tell us about yourself. How'd you meet my son?
I swallow and fight the urge to bite my lip. I'm sure hearing that I'm a bartender and I met Boone when he came into my bar isn't going to win them over. A worse thought occurs to me. What if they think I'm some kind of gold digger? Boone answers for me.
Ripley's been running her family's bar and doing a damn good job of it, too. I was lucky enough to meet her when Zane Frisco dragged me there one night. I keep forgetting that I need to thank him for that.
His arm slips around my waist, and his hand squeezes my hip. Mr. Thrasher's eyebrows go up.
Running a bar can't be an easy business.
It's definitely a challenge, I reply. It was in my family for over 30 years, and unfortunately, recently closed.
So what you're saying is you don't have a job?
This comes from Boone's brother, and no one in the room can miss the skepticism in his tone. At least I have an answer to my question. He definitely thinks I'm a gold digger. I have a job. I'm bartending at the White Horse Saloon while I work out exactly what I'm going to do next. It's been a long time since I've considered the possibility of doing something other than working in a bar. I've been carrying cases of liquor since I was Kyle's age. Wendy jabs Grant in the side again, and I highly doubt he and I are going to be friends. I can't blame him, though. He's just looking out for his little brother.
Wow, that sounds like an interesting way to grow up, Wendy says to cover the awkwardness of the moment.
I had the boys working around the shop when they were growing up, too. And let me tell you, Boone here is lucky he survived with all his fingers, for as much as I had to holler at him for messing with stuff.
We're saved from any more awkward small talk when Boone's mom walks out of the kitchen and into the dining room with a steaming casserole dish.
Come on, y'all. I'm not letting my scalloped potatoes get cold for anyone.
Kyle follows her with a basket covered in a towel and sets it on the table.
I'll get the ham, Susie Q.
Boone's dad heads for the dining room to set down his beer before disappearing into the kitchen. Is there anything we can help with? I ask Boone.
Ma would whip my ass if I let you lift a finger this time. You're a guest. You'll have to wait until next time to lend a hand. She's got rules.
And those rules exempt pregnant women from doing anything more than enjoying her amazing cooking, Wendy says with a smile. Come on, you're not going to want to miss this. I swear she sprinkles crack on the food, because no matter how close I follow her recipes, mine never taste as good.
Come on, baby. You know I said your meatloaf was just as good as Ma's,
Grant says to his wife as he walks into the dining room with us. Hush your mouth. You don't want your mama to overhear that.
Too late, sweet boy, but you're lucky I love you, or there'd be no more meatloaf for you.
Boone's mom strides toward me and wraps me in a hug.